time, the sundering is soon upon us.
And here I be, thinking we were dead, Brunner muttered sarcastically, mostly to Regis, but Catti Bree wasn't listening and didn't slow in her story.
She took on the role of a scald then, even beginning a bit of a dance as she continued, much like the dancing she had done around the flowery boughs of Eruladun through the hours of the previous 10 days. It will be a time of great despair and tumult, of chaos and realignment, both worldly and among the Pantheon, she proclaimed. The gods will claim their realms and their followers. They will seek their champions among some and make champions of others. They will find prizes among the mortal leaders of Faerun, among the lords of Waterdeep and the arch-wizards of Fae, among the chieftains of the great tribes and the heroes of the north, among the kings, dwarf and orc alike. Most will be as it ever has been, she explained. Moradin and Grumsh will hold their tribes fast, but around the edges there will be chaos. Who will lead the thieves, and to whom will the wizards credit their arcane blasts? And who will mortals, grieving and lost, choose to serve as the roadways of their journey winding ever wider? What? Regis asked in obvious exasperation.
More riddles? Wulfgar grumbled.
But Brunner caught a bit of her meaning more clearly.
Drizzt, he whispered. Grieving and lost, ye say? Aye, but I left him with that Dahlia girl, and trouble's sure to be brewing with that fiery child.
Grieving, and so perhaps easy prey, said Catti Bree.
He loves ye, Brunner was quick to answer comfortingly. He still loves ye, girl, always has.
Catti Bree's laugh almost mocked the notion of carnal jealousy. I speak of his heart, of his soul, and not of his physical desires.
In that, Drizzt is for me a leaky, said Regis.
But Catti Bree merely shrugged to dispel his certainty.
He will choose in the end, she said, and I hold faith in him that he will choose wisely. But more likely his choice will cost him everything. That is the warning of Mialiki, and so this is her gift.
Bah! But it's not for her to be giving, Brunner said. My place is in the halls of Tempest. Wulfgar insisted, catching on to the dwarf's meaning and rising to his feet imperiously and defiantly.
And so the choice is yours to make, Catti Bree agreed,
for never would the goddess demand such service from the follower of another. Mialiki demands of you no fealty, but offers you, then, this choice.
I am here, Wulfgar argued. There is no choice.
I, agreed Brunner.
There is.
Catti Bree replied with a smile that surely disarmed both.
For this place is not permanent and everlasting. Indeed, its time of end is nearly upon us. The enchantment of Mialiki, Eruladun, will soon be no more, forever gone, not to return. And so we must choose and we must leave.
As I tried, Wulfgar reminded.
Indeed, Catti Bree replied with a nod. But you did so blindly, without preparation, without bargain, and so you were doomed. Better for you that your experience ended as soon as it began. Better for you that the midwife dashed you down upon the stones.
Without bargain?
Regis echoed under his breath. The halfling catching the curious phrase buried within Catti Bree's explanation. The blood drained from Wulfgar at Catti Bree's remark, as memories of his brief experience outside of Eruladun came flooding back to him. Magically, he knew, through the words of Catti Bree. He had come forth into the arms of a giantess, so he thought, but in truth, into the arms of a midwife. And when he had protested, when he had called out in the voice of a babe, but in the words of one much older, the horrified midwife had done her duty and had thrown him down, dashing him on the warm stones heating the hut. The memory of the weight of that terror, of the explosion as his soft head struck the unyielding rock, stunned him once more. He stumbled back into the pond a couple of steps and sat there in the shallow water for many heartbeats before dragging himself back to the bank.
I, Catti Bree explained to Brunner and Regis as Wulfgar floundered. The goddess revealed it all to me. Indeed, she likely incited the midwife to destroy the haunted child.
Not much of a merciful goddess, Brunner argued.
The cycle of life and death is neither merciful nor merciless, Caddybree explained. It is. It has ever been and will ever be. Wulfgar could not leave Iruladun as he attempted. None of us can. That is not the pact or the choice Mieliki offers to us for. We are afforded two paths from this forest before the magic fades. The first is as Wulfgar chose, but on condition.
She looked directly at Wulfgar.
One you had not met, and so you were doomed to fail.
Wulfgar stared back at her, his expression rife with suspicion.
The second route from here is through that very pond, Caddybree finished. On condition?
Regis asked.
To leave the forest. To return to Faerûn requires an oath to Mieliki.
You would proselytize? Wulfgar protested. By Moradin's hairy arse!
Brunner similarly protested.
I love ye, girl, and love Drizzt as me brother, but I ain't for chasing flowers in a glade of Mieliki's choosing.
An oath. A quest. Not everlasting fealty, Caddybree explained. To accept the blessing of Mieliki and depart Iruladun to be born again upon the lands of Faerûn, you must accept one condition alone, that you will act on the side of Mieliki in the darkest hour.
To be sure. I'm not knowing what that's to mean, girl, said Brunner.
In Drizzt's darkest hour, she means, said Regis.
When the others all looked to him, he added,
A gift to Drizzt most of all, you said.
Are ye saying that Drizzt will be needing our help?
Asked Brunner. Caddybree shrugged, appearing sincerely at a loss.
It seems likely. So we can return to the aid of Drizzt, whatever that might mean, but we are free to honor and serve a god of our choosing?
Regis asked, and it was obvious from his tone that he was only asking the question to help clarify things for Brunner and Wulfgar, whose faces continued to express grave doubts.
When the cycle turns once more, when you die again, as you surely will, Caddybree replied, you will find your way to the altar of the god of your choosing, at that god's suffrage.
She whirled around to face Wulfgar in the pond and added,
Indeed, that choice is the second option before you now.
She pointed into the pond.
For beneath the waters of this pond is a cave, a tunnel winding through the multiverse to the promised rewards of devoted followers. That path is open to you now, should you